Off the Ball, GAA.
Dublin are more vulnerable now that Brian Fenton is gone. And then I was thinking back, geez, the last game Brian Fenton missed for Dublin was the open round of the Leinster Championship against Meath when they absolutely tanked them.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB. Proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.
Hello there and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod. It is January 13th, 2025 and the pod is back. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, you're both very welcome. How are we keeping Paddy's little coffee there? How's it going?
Yeah, keep me ticking over. Happy New Year, lads. It's great, isn't it? Is today the grimmest day of the year? Is that what they say? The second third Monday of January?
No, it's is it?
Yeah, it might be a bit later on.
I don't feel too bad today.
I'm all right today, though, yeah. Are you still dry January?
I have, so far.
You wouldn't last a month. You don't have a month in you.
I do. No, I do, but I've been swayed because one of the lads is leaving his job on Friday.
He got a new job.
So
he's not leaving the country.
Yeah, but you have to celebrate it with a couple of.
Do you?
We're going off to Guineagula.
Where's that? That sounds like an island in, you know.
Sounds like a long way away.
American Samoa or something like that, out by Fiji.
Ambrose Donovan's club.
Lovely.
So we're going to have a few pints. So not major, but a few Guinness.
25 Guinness will be had on Friday. To celebrate the young Philip moving fucking job. That is. You haven't had your arm twisted for that. That's weird.
Are you on the dry January, Paddy?
I have a child now. I'm on dry life. There's no crack anymore to be had.
That's an Irish coffee you have there.
I'm just dragging me through. I haven't slept since New Year's.
What about you, Tom?
I'll be dry.
What about me? I'm not envisaging any weekend excursions over the next couple of weeks. So I may end up in it, but we were in West Cork for the first couple of days of the year. So
I had a couple of Tourism Ireland. It looked pretty nice.
It was beautiful. It really was. Yeah. So I had a pint or two, but nothing hectic. Castletown Bear. Right down on the Bear Peninsula, so it was lovely. Nice couple of days away.
Was it a gig? Were you advertising something or anything?
No, I don't do that.
That's a lie. You do that.
No. And if I did, I would say hashtag ad, hashtag spawn.
It's Boltav.
There was no selling needed on Saturday for football. It was sensational in Newbridge, in Connaught's Park. It was the first game of the year that I got out to. I was delighted to have made it there because it was a joy to watch. What was it like watching at home?
Pleasantly surprised. Jimmy, you had a bit more skin in the game. You obviously know a lot of the guys. Considering it's the second weekend of January, it was a great game. Very exciting. Second game up in Brefley Park probably wasn't as... didn't hit the heights, but we always say club games go down to the last 2 minutes. Just switch on when the clock is on 55.
And count against.
But I thought it was a really good game. To talk to us just, because I'll be dropping over here in the next couple of weeks. What's the new Newbridge like? It looks like a great gig. Nice.
Yeah, lovely. Paddy, we were there the last game or one of the last games of the old Newbridge.
With the Better Dubs.
Yeah, when they bet the Dubs. We definitely got to see it towards the end. And
we'd all played there. You played there, Tommy, had you?
I hadn't played there, no.
Jimmy, you had you?
The pitch was beautiful.
I really liked it.
The pitch was never an issue there.
Shut up, Jimmy. You didn't like Newbridge.
I loved it. Honestly. Perfect. Lovely surface. Two scoring goals.
It needed a lick of paint.
Tight field. But I know, but sure, when you're playing, you're not exactly up in the stand going, Jesus, this looks a bit run down.
A couple of times I was up in the stand watching, but it was always a great atmosphere there. There was. It's right in the middle of the town, very good. Nightmare for traffic and parking. Absolutely shambolic dressing rooms. Trying to get changed. We played a couple of minor and under 21 championship games there. But it was a very atmospheric ground. But it needed a bit of work, and it looks like they've done a really good job.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, lovely job. And what I found interesting, actually, when I walked in first was the wee robot mower that they've got motoring around the field, clipping the grass.
Yeah,
But also, laying the lines on the field. I hadn't realized this. It was like, the little robot mower was doing the lines. Now, I didn't catch it doing the new 40-meter arc because the pitches were obviously painted for the new rules. But if that's the case, we have no crying and cribbing to be doing. We just need to get a couple of robots.
They've cut the groundsman then. So poor groundsman has got the bullet because of this. Well, this is what happens. AI.
I wouldn't say they've cut it. I'd say they've just changed his name to Chief Groundsman and he oversees the operation. Okay. You know, that's something like that. But anyways, the pitch, I had a little stroll along the field before the game. I was there early. It was soft in the corners, but perfect.
Was it soft? Because I was actually thinking the weather over the last couple of days would have actually helped because you could still play the game fast. You know, it wasn't soft or boggy. So you're saying it was still soft in the corners?
But not overly so. I guess when I was walking along initially, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what it's like. But when I strolled onto the middle of the field and walked along, absolutely perfect. And it obviously lent to a brilliant game of football, which kind of from the start, you know, I think Eric Kieran got the first score. Dr. Croke settled, you know, got three in the spin. But like after that, it was.
But you know, I listened to the game on the radio for the first half. I actually only watched the game back because I was
Tim and Ambrose. Yeah, were beside me. Yeah,
were they? But
I was doing the clock for them. They weren't too happy. They thought my clock was slow.
But I listened to it before I watched it. But and you can say this, Tom, because you were at it. The Errol Kieran supporters seemed to be so low. They had air horns. They screamed everything. I thought they were just very passionate supporters. Was that because of where you were?
They were right in front of us. So we were right there. I had great crack. Tony Brosnan nailed a free in the second half, right in front of the Errol Kieran crowd and right in front of myself, Ambrose and Tim. And as he was lining up the free, it was a tough free near the touchline. And he clipped it over, nailed it. But as he was lining it up, there was boos and there was jeers. I'll tell you what, Tim and Ambrose were not happy with the throwing crowd. No, it was brilliant. Yes, it was brilliant.
Lads, like, there's a bit of previous here. Like, cut the shit. Like, the lads can't stand Tyrone. Like, that's, come on.
No, that's not true. They love Tyrone.
The boys are brilliant. Anyways, it always adds to it as well. You know, when you're watching a game and you're following the game, get a bit of commentary on the left as well. It always helps as well. But I think there's a couple of moments, actually, and I think this is actually going to be something for us when we're covering games live, especially with the new rules. Because it was such a frenetic, frantic, back and forth sort of a game and there was so much happening, anytime I kind of went to take a couple of notes or jot something down, I bloody missed something. So like Joe Guz's goal in extra time, I wasn't sure if he meant it. I thought it was nearly like a Kevin McMiniman or a job from back against Kerry when you're not sure that he meant to loop it in the top corner. It was an unbelievable finish. Rory Canavan's pass, I saw the ball leave his boot, but once Dara took off, I was like, who took the pass? Obviously it was Rory.
TV missed that as well.
It was just, actually missed it, yeah. That was that goal technically was perfect. Just the pass, the run from Dara Canavan out and cutting back in. Like any forwards watching that, it was textbook stuff. Yeah. Poor enough from, like you look at Dr. Crokes and go, I probably had them as slight favourites to maybe win that game. And they go, where did they lose? They didn't get a handle on the Canavans, which is probably the most obvious threat. You look at what Kilcoo did in the Ulster Club Final, where they really shut the two lads down, to be fair to them. It was a really solid defensive display from Kilcoo, but that still wasn't enough. It wasn't a great game. It wasn't a great spectacle. Whereas this was a much better, much more open game. This is the challenge for Kula on Sunday now. But that goal, the pass was spectacular. The run out and back in, any forwards, getting the ball running at the goal. And then the finish was, wow. It was just perfect. Everything about it was just perfect forward play. And it was just beautiful to see. And like I said, the second weekend in January, it was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
But I mean, if you go through the game, right, it went in periods for Errol and periods for Crokes, and you didn't know where it was going to go. But if you actually think about who had the game in the palm of their hand, the Crokes had the ball with 30 seconds left, a point up, in normal time, and they lose the game. Like as well as Errol Kieran played, and I thought they were outstanding. I thought they were actually the better team. They did so well to draw the game because they were beaten. Like that game,
and
they was
and
gone
two
from
bad misses, Jimmy. Two bad, like Rory Canavan and Ben McDonald.
Yeah,
both key players for them. You back them both to score, particularly Rory Canavan, the one he gets in the middle of the goal. Like, I couldn't believe he missed it.
Yeah.
Michael Burns gets that score, and you're right, you think that's it, Crokes have done it. And it's Gavin White on the free.
This is why I want
to talk about this.
Someone's got to come and get the ball off.
Exactly.
Come on.
Someone has to.
Goalkeeper, anyone.
But I still think he did the best second option. Like, no one wanted that.
Yeah.
But and then I'm thinking,
how can has it come from
the sideline maybe to say, I don't want you going backwards in that situation as a rule of thumb throughout the year. If we have a free there, I don't want us going back and playing slowly. So
Jimmy, this is it. It's literally the last kick of the game.
I couldn't
when he kicked it and they lost, I still thought they'd get away with it.
Yeah.
When they don't,
I knew as soon as they had it, they were in trouble. Because
James, that was like we all instinctively felt the same thing, right? That when White had the ball in his hands and the jeers were coming from the crowd, that it possibly, you know, the referee was going to blow it up and it was going to be a throw ball. But what were you thinking watching it? Like, why was nobody bloody showing?
I think that everyone was wrecked and everyone was nervy and it was like, get the ball up the other end of the field and we'll defend what we have to defend. But then it didn't pan out that way. I think Crokes had too many bodies forward when they did kick it long, and when they lost it, there was space there. And in fairness to Petey Hart, he creates a score.
Brilliant.
And they get a great equaliser. But I mean, if you're sitting in the pub as a Crokes player after the game and you're thinking,
yeah,
how do we lose that? It just came down to a simple play because fellas just didn't look for that specific pass and didn't take the risk, and they went a bit cautious with it.
The casual observer will blame Gavin White there.
No, I don't blame Gavin White at all, because I still think he did the next best thing. No one came to him, so he put it long and high, and he gave them a chance to win it, and he put enough distance between the ball and the goal that they could.
Yeah, it wasn't a lump. Like, it was kind of a glided out.
And I mean, you're talking, the adrenaline going through your body there. You're 30 seconds away from getting back to an All-Ireland final with your club. That, like, you're like, we'll defend anything here. But they didn't manage.
But without the surprise, I know, and I'm going to get to my boy.
Dude.
My boy again. But just on that play, the incredible thing is, like, you say, okay, our lad's tired, right? And maybe, yeah, look, it's injury time. It's a fairly pulsating game. It's January, all that stuff. But you're a point up. You know, you shouldn't be afraid to get the ball. But if you're a point down, maybe you're thinking you go into your shell a bit. Or if it's level, you go, I don't want this ball. I'm going to make mistakes. That shouldn't be the case, but that is the reality. Some players might get that in their head. But you're a point up. You're in the driving seat. You keep that ball for 30 seconds. That's it. Mm. And maybe I'm thinking, I'm looking to the county players here. You're the men. Is maybe Gavin White, should he give someone else take the free? And Gavin White goes and get the ball. You know his fitness levels, his speed. Should he be the guy receiving a little pop pass? Mm. Maybe Tony Brosnan or Burns are weighing. So Kieran O'Leary's on the pitch. He had a really good impact on the game. He's really sharp. I just, you have to get that ball. Because you know, if you lose it, and Murphy's Law, if you kick the ball long in that situation, the other team are going to get it. And the ref is going to give them a go. Mm. He's going to give them a go to get it back. And then it comes, obviously Peter Hart gets it, sprays it across. And our boy, Oak McCartan, again.
Peter Oak McCartan.
Right, or over this kid. My God. What a score. And I wasn't that invested in the game. But I'm looking, he's got two guys outside him on his left. And you're thinking,
they didn't have many shooters though. Like,
this is the same guy after the Ulster final. And he said, like, I'm not a shooter. But he clearly backs himself after his heroics against Kilkeel to win the Ulster title. And it was a beautiful, it's not an easy score because there's someone coming out to block him. And that's what I was thinking. You have an overlap here. It would be easy just to shift that on. And we're talking about maybe some of the Crokes guys just not having their head in the game at that crucial moment, or maybe not having the mentality to go and get the ball and win the game. This young man, Jesus Christ, to step up, to kick the score, a brilliant kick. Was the writing on the wall at that point? You have to say they would have been favourites.
Once it went to time.
Everything was with them. Yeah. Like, it's... It was a killer for Crokes not to close the game out, but that score, that was, like I say, just right in a row over stuff. Two games in a row.
Just on that,
he's
right?
He's going to be Tyrone captain this year.
Ogie.
Get that young man. Send him back.
I had a wee chat with our buddy Kieran McAleer afterwards, and he's trying to pick where to build a statue for Peter Ogg McCartney. He was saying, just on that, right? You're talking about a fella who's technically not a shooter, right?
He looks pretty good to me.
But like, he's a senior club champion with Errol Kieran and Tyrone twice now in the last couple of years, an Ulster champion. There's a base level of skill and quality to be able to play football at that level.
You would take that.
Okay. But what I'm trying to get at is there an extra bit of, is there something there with bottle or mentality that when it's like, you're not panicking in that clutch moment, like is there something in his personality that allows him to be, even though he mightn't kick 10 shots a game, he's able to stand up in those moments?
If he didn't kick that winner against Kilkeel in the Ulster final, I don't think he'd have taken that shot on.
He kicked the equaliser against Kilkeel as well. Didn't he kick the equaliser and the winner?
Ooh, he missed one against Kilkeel as well.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Maybe,
Definitely kicked one late on to keep him in it, or maybe equalise, and then he kicked the winner. He kicked two late on.
If you look, the winning score in the Ulster final is, it's on the wrong side. That's,
yes.
It's a great kick. You know, he has a skill level. He's downplaying his quality. Yeah. Maybe the one at the weekend that's coming in on that right side, like say there's someone coming at the block, which maybe catches your eye, but it's probably an easier kick. For someone to have the skill set to kick that score in the Ulster final, this guy can shoot. It's just a case of, as Jimmy says, if you have the stones to go for it.
Yeah, exactly. I think then extra time happens, right? And what we'd seen, just we've barely even spoken about just kind of what we witnessed with the two Canavans. But on the flip side, Micheál Burns had a phenomenal game. Tony Brosnan scored his freeze. He got one big point from play. I think his kick passing was nice, but he maybe didn't have the impact from play you might have expected. But you had 12 points from Brosnan and Burns. And then the first 110, the first 11 scores for Errol Kieran came from the Canavan brothers. But then suddenly, as so often happens, those boys started cramping up. Like, Darragh Canavan was hobbling about the field in extra time. Rory Canavan was struggling. He was being helped a couple of times with cramp. Micheál Burns had to leave with cramp. Tony Brosnan was still going till the end, but other players stood up, and Big Joe goes, like, the impact this fella had in extra time. I may have just missed it, you know, in the flow of the game. I thought he was quite quiet before that.
But then, a phenomenal point. He fisted a great, and I know we don't like to fist a score, but he took his man on the end line, and to get that ball over, he could have been horsed over the end line, or his fist pass could have been blocked down. So he got an inspirational score there.
And then
he also did
an
inspirational block in extra time, and then he got that goal. The finish for the goal was absolutely sensational. To punt it outside of the boot into the top corner in extra time on our semi.
But the photo, Piers from Sportsfile got the photo. And
pronounce the second name, go on.
I can't. It's like me trying to pronounce the goal at Club with us.
It is difficult.
I bottled it halfway through.
Piers from Sportsfile,
Piers from Sportsfile. But like, yeah, super stuff. But Paddy, the Canavan brothers, right? You played with the Brogans. James, you played with the Cliffords. Like, in a game as big as that, right? And I'm not trying to be, you know, use a bit of hyperbole here, but it just felt like we were watching something special between the two lads, two brothers having such a significant impact in a game as big as that. Have you seen that? Like, nobody else has scored till the 54th minute. What I'm getting at here, have you seen brothers have an impact in a game as big as that before in the same manner?
Yeah, like those guys you mentioned. Jimmy would say Cliffords have done it at the highest level with Kerry. The Brogans would have done it with Plunkett against us in the club championship games.
Oh, really? The Brogans? Just the Brogans?
But you have to remember, they're unbelievable players, both of them. And at that level, they stand out even more. So we've yet to see it in inter-county Tyrone context where the two guys link up like that. And that will come. They're only young guys. But at that level, not to be down with it, but they should be standing out. They're brilliant players, you know, and that's the reason why Darragh Canavan's one of the best forwards in the country, and Rory has all this potential to join him at that level. And the way the team is set up, you know, every ball is looking for those guys. If you're on the Errol Kieran team, everyone is trying to get the ball to these guys. So they're going to get loads of opportunities to do that. So it's not... I thought they were outstanding. And you know, I think Darragh Canavan is one of the top forwards in the country, like top three, that level of player. So
which that, one of you picked him as your bloody player to watch last year, the year before? Something scandalous
probably
like that.
Probably me. Probably me. I think I picked
All Ireland winner Darragh Canavan is my player to watch.
Him and Conn.
But you better do your homework because I'll be looking for players to watch next week.
But no, like that's the they fired them to the All Ireland final, and that is the big conundrum for Coola on Sunday.
Yes,
like, Kilku had a template where they did shut these guys down. It was a pretty dour game. And still didn't get the job done.
Yeah. They shut Rory down. Like, Dara still made the goal and definitely set up.
But it's not the impact he's had in other games where he nearly runs amok on Saturday. But with the quality of player that they are and the way Crokes probably were a little bit more open than I thought they'd be, Jimmy. You know, maybe when they have the ball, they're a lot more conservative about things. But I thought they would have been maybe a little bit tighter and trying to shut that down. And that's ultimately that was the win and lose of the game. When 2 forwards like that go off, that's the day. So we say it with Kerry all the time, if the Cliffords go off on one, there's not a lot you can do. And that's when the players are that quality and you're on the Argyll Kerry team, why wouldn't you try and get the ball through literally on every single, even Petey Hart, who's been at the top of the game for over a decade, he's looking for you know, Joe Agu has been playing with Tyrone for years. It's like, how do I get the ball to these two guys? Because they're special players.
And we'll see how they get on.
Crokes do play on the front foot. They play open. But I suppose what they rely on is to not make too many mistakes. So they're never that wide open. Yeah. But whenever Argyll Kieran came at Crokes, what they did was they got into a certain area of the field, maybe top of the D, and it could have been out wide. And you had the Canavan sprinting off at angles just to get the last bit of the attack, just to get that shot off. They were so sharp. And they were going at such speed that all they needed was to do half a dummy and they'd either be fouled or someone would go for a block and they'd get the space. I think they were so clever. The two Canavans, honestly, I thought they were sensational. But
the
if you look at Rory,
very, very, very good.
It is. It's so sharp. But the chemistry between all of them, that's the thing about brothers playing, is like the chemistry is unmatched. There's no way anyone can have the same chemistry as two brothers that are also playing in a county team up front for a club team. It's like a cheat code. But Rory didn't touch the ball for 11 and a half minutes. His first touch was an outrageous score from the side of his right leg. Do you remember?
Unbelievable. He opened the hips. Yeah.
So like that's another great trait of a forward is you're not touching the ball that often. You're not involved in the game. You're patient. You're not in your own head thinking, I'm not in this game. And then you get it. You pull the trigger over the bar, bang. And next
for a young player, isn't that like, that's an impressive thing for someone at his age. It looks like he's in a club setting. That's probably easier to do because he could have an absolute howler. He ain't coming off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like he's the man. That might be different if he's playing with Tyrone. And whether you like it or not, they're Canavans. When they're playing for Tyrone, everyone's looking at them because of their dad's one of the best players of all time. So does he still have that mentality in the club scene if he goes 20 minutes in the first round of the Ulster Championship? But what we've seen at the weekend, I agree with Jimmy, that is, you can do try and force things around and just calm. And for a guy at his age, they've got all this. They're building a serious CV and Rory to try and match what Dara's doing. And Sunday could be the hardest one they'll ever win if they go and do this against Coola at the weekend.
That's the thing.
And that's the position they've put themselves in. And it's brilliant to see. And I thought, for what was a brilliant game, they were a little bit of stardust in it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was brilliant.
But both teams as well. Both teams, I thought, played really attractive football. Like the amount of times the ball was kicked into the forward line. People off. I think that maybe Argyll Kieran were a bit better at it, at getting fellas off for the final kick. Mainly the Canavans, but both sides really did kick the ball in and try and get runners off. I thought there was a very, very attractive game of football to watch.
And what about regret, James? Because like Dr. Crokes had been here before, you know, they lost after a replay to Cross in 2007. Pat Shea was manager then. I think the second stint, you know, it ended with a defeat to Cara Finn in the All-Ireland Club Series, but they had won in 2017. They bet Shlock Neal in that final. He's back again. He's done so much to them this year. They kind of came from nowhere, really, in a sense. Not that Dr. Crokes ever come from nowhere, but they didn't get out of the group last year. They lost early on in the championship. So, like, regret. Like, how is this going to hit them? Because they reeled off their bench, and you had Dahi Casey. You had John Payne. You had Kieran Leary coming on. You know, Kieran Leary and Kieran Leary was playing in 07, wasn't he? Like, there's players from back then playing. Brian Looney had a big impact in the game. Fionn Fitz is 34. Yeah. Like, are these lads going to stay on? Is Pat Shea going to stay on? Is the Crokes...
I don't know. I suppose they'll have decisions to make. But I mean, there's always kind of plenty of fellas coming through with Crokes, in fairness, that they can put together a strong collective. But there's no doubt they'll be rocked by this, because they'll feel like they left it after them, you know, because of how close the game was. But I've never been in a situation of being in an All-Ireland club semi-final, so I don't know how much it's going to rock them. But I think the feeling definitely was that they were in that game and could have taken it. So yeah. It'll hurt badly for them. But they'll be back, there's no doubt. But the one thing I would say about the final,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, let's get to the cooler now, because all the talk has been out of
the game. Perfect. Oh yeah, we'll get to cooler. But say, if you're talking about a weak turnaround, right?
Mm.
I think the cooler can really narrow their preparation down. And you know what I'm going to say? What they have to do is take out the Canavans. Like, I mean... I don't think Crokes went out to stop them, though. I think Crokes went out to play their own game. But if you think Akula's defensive strategy, they don't need to stop shots from the sides. They don't need to clog up the D. They need to absolutely nail down Dara, most importantly. However many men it takes to nail him down. I think in terms of a week's preparation. I know, but in terms of a week's preparation, I think that's... It's almost the easiest prep. They don't have to stop the whole team. They don't have to stop wing backs breaking and getting goal chances. They have to stop the Canavans getting shots off, because I don't think the Errol Kiran have that many shooters outside of them. That's why I think the Kula are favourites for the final on Sunday.
Well, you'd be surprised, because Kula, as you boys will know, were tipped by myself very early on. Kula were number one on my
power rankings.
They were number one with the bookies since the middle of November. Errol Kiran are now slight favourites going into the weekend. So whether they've been swayed,
what's the spread?
Why how much? Oh yeah, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. It's nothing. So Paddy, you watched Coola clear a Strand Hill, the second game of the weekend. It was in Breffni Park. A slightly different pace of football. You'd say if anyone was watching the first game and said we don't need new rules, would they have said it in the second game?
I don't think it was that, but I just thought it was... I just thought Coola were comfortable through the whole, bar that kind of 10-minute period in the second half. Strand Hill rattle off 5 points on the spin, and Coola have had this in a couple of games. Most notably the Leinster final, where they look to be cruising, and
yeah,
they just seem to maybe switch off a little bit. And they wrestle back momentum. Khan gets a brilliant score and wins a kick out. That's when you have someone of that quality in the team, you can do that. But bar that 10-minute period for Strand, Coola were just a far better team, and they're. I know we look, and maybe a lot of the talk will be around Fitzsimons picking up Darragh Canavan this weekend, which he will, and that is a brilliant battle to see in a club game. The same, who's going to try and pick up Khan and his brother, obviously inside, he's been doing a lot of damage for Coola. But
how sharp did they look, Paddy, on Saturday night?
Yeah, I thought they were really good, but like it was a comfortable game. It didn't have the jeopardy of what we've seen beforehand in Newbridge, that you felt Coola were going to be favourites going into the game. It transpired like that. I know Strand Hill have been able to kind of frustrate teams, and you know, it's a brilliant story for them, the first Sligo team in over four decades to win the Connacht title and get to this point. But you just felt cool at arm's length for the entire match. And Strand Hill, they look back, no more so with Dr. Crooks. They were sloppy at times with the ball, and that just cool it. They're similar in a way, and the people won't like me saying this, to what Kilmacook Crokes have been, the dominant team in Dublin and probably across the country over the last 3 or 4 years. And what makes Crokes stand out in Dublin is that they're just very hard to play against. Mm. They have a lot of solid players. They're really well coached. Crokes have had a bit of sugar on top with Mannion and Walsh. Not every team is going to have that. But in terms of the other 13 players in the team, they don't make mistakes. They're big, they're strong, they're athletic, they're well organised. And with Coola, it's a very similar set. They don't give away anything cheap. And I know that's you're making the point, Jimmy, around can they shut down the Canavans and like Fitzsimons on Derrickham? It'll be a whole unit. I know we say this with teams, but Coola just don't do anything stupid, really. They're hard to play against. They'll make you work for every score. And if they can stop that little bit of a brain freeze, which has tended to happen in a couple of games where they're nearly too comfortable. We've seen it, Leinster Club Championship, and then again at the weekend where the game is kind of over. All you have to do is just keep this 6 iron down the middle and you're sorted. If they allow a period of 5 or 10 minutes, again, where they just lose momentum, sloppy turnovers, and the Catavines get on the end. And I think that could swing the game. You know, this is really, really tight. I'm, you know, we were on the WhatsApp after the two games. It's a really tough one to call. You fancy Coolidge. You're nailed on for Coolidge, Jimmy, are you?
I am. I'm saying Eire got here all the way through.
The recovery or just team on team, Coolidge, you just have.
I think there's more scores. I think there's more scores in Coolidge around the field. Like, I always say this. I add up scores on paper.
It's the only way you look at the game, Jimmy.
It is. And I think that if they can nail down one of the Canavans, preferably Dara from a cooler point of view, I don't see Errol being able to chip in from around the field. Like, there was a couple of chances they had against Crokes where maybe some of the wing players had shots from in front of the goals and they didn't look as comfortable. They wanted to dish it to one of the Canavans. So I think that if Coolidge just concentrate on that defensively and perform up front, I think that they will have enough. These games are impossible to call.
I hear you, but this is the type of game that Peter Hart, for me, has been very quiet. His quality, maybe a bit harsh under the radar because like the Canavans are taking a lot of the limelight, but this is the type of game Peter Hart could be phenomenal in. You know, you'd have to imagine maybe Padder or Coffick Byrne is going to be on Joe O'Goose. That's the big battle in midfield. There's a lot of, particularly now with Dublin and the intercounty team, Dublin and the midfield. So Padder, you would have to imagine, is probably going to get a goal for Dublin in the National League. This is a big test for him. O'Goose has been around the block. That's probably a matchup. The Canavan, Derek Canavan, Mike Fitzsimons, the whole country's going to be looking at that one. That's a big ass for Fitzy. You know, I love
But they won't leave that one on one, Paddy. Like, they won't.
That's what I mean. I think Cooler are smarter than just leaving that. Yeah, there might be times they're isolated and there's no one better than Fitzy. You'll back him to make a fist of it. But it's the type of game where Peter Hart, he's crafty. He's fucking crafty. Mm. He can just hover around the edges and all of a sudden he's popping balls in. He might 2 or 3 points himself. And the other side, if you're looking, no more so we're saying from Cooler's perspective, if you're Eire Gall Kieran, who's dealing with Conn? Just glimpses. He's not shooting the lights out, but there was a couple of plays on Saturday just when it needed to happen. He gets a brilliant score as well in the final quarter. Gets it on the halfway line. Again, like right or over.
Unbelievable.
Runs the pitch and clips it off on his left foot. He's the type of guy, he could go bananas on Sunday as well. So I think it's a brilliant final.
It is.
But tough to call.
Like the journey Eire Gall Kieran have been on as well. Every game has been so tight. They're hardy. They are hardy and they know how to dig it out. They have guts and determination. That's why I'm going to find it so hard to call. But I think the Coolidge might just be the
point or two, Jimmy. Is this like 58 minutes on the clock? It's got to be in the balance.
I think so.
It kind of has been with both of them. Like, yeah. As James mentioned, 4 of Eire Gall Kieran's wins have been by a point. They've had one after extra time, one a replay. Coolidge, as you mentioned, Paddy, have this habit of letting teams back into it when they build up a little bit of a lead. I think they both have strengths. They both have clear weaknesses as well. Like Cormac Quinn did a great job on Tony Brosnan, I thought, at the weekend. He'll probably take Conn, the Tyrone cornerback.
Yeah.
But like, that's a different prospect, I think, facing Conn and Croke Park. Like, Conn and Croke Park last February scored a hat-trick against Kerry. He was brilliant. He was absolutely
Croker suits Conn and Derek Hanford.
Yeah,
it's the two absolutely them, yeah. Made for both of them.
Yeah, it's going to be class.
This is like Kerry Galway, a couple of Shane Walsh, David Clifford types.
Yeah, we could get that.
Could and be look, one for the ages. Weather looks reasonable for the weekend. I think it's a great fight. It's a novelty final to new clubs, basically.
Yes,
Coolidge had success with the hurling a couple of years ago. What a story it would be for them to, you know, coming from Dalkey, not a hotbed of GAA 20 years ago, you know, to potentially have won, backing up the two hurling titles with a football title, and Eire Gall Kieran have never done it, their shot at doing it. So I think it's a brilliant, brilliant final. I know we were on the WhatsApp, I was him. Maybe Eire Gall Kieran, maybe slight favourites.
You're both on Coolidge, is that what I'm hearing?
I die. Maybe, yeah.
You're hopping on.
I'd like Coolidge to win. I'd like, yeah.
The Dalkey Dart. I've been on it since November.
I'm not sure to do this, but I'd love Cooley to. I've loved Eric Kieran's story, and the Canavans are one of my favourite players. But like for Cooley, what it would mean for them to win. But again, the two boys, like Fitzy, what? Talk about topping off a fucking career as well. Mm. This could be, and I don't know this, absolutely do not know this, this could be Fitzy's last time we see him.
You heard it here first, boys.
I don't know. But it could be. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. What a story for him.
Go out at the time.
For Conn, the star of the hurling team. You know, he was the main man for the hurlers, winning two hurling titles and potentially a couple of years later winning the football titles. So there's so much around this game. As you look, it's the All-Ireland Club Final. It's the biggest game in the club season. And I think it's just set up for... I think it's going to be a brilliant day.
What about the impact of the extra time? Like, because obviously the games were fixed for the previous weekend. There was going to be a 2-week run-in, right? It's down to 1 week. Eric O'Kieran have gone to the well. I mean, like, God, they've dug every last ounce out of themselves. Yeah. They were limping off the pitch. There was cramp going everywhere. I don't know, did Cooley get into top gear the weekend?
No, didn't.
Like,
didn't.
I think they have an extra bit of gas. Like, that could also be a bit of a factor. Going into Croke Park, there's no hiding. That pitch plays so open, especially in a club game. It's going to take a lot of energy, a lot of fitness, and a lot of big recovery.
Do you think that could swing it? Genuine?
Well, I mean, it's another 1%. You know, it's going to be so tight. I just wonder, Cooley have more energy in the locker after an easier
week? I put that to Enda McGinley after the game, Derek O'Kieran manager, and he was like, look, if there's no injuries in that dressing room when I go in, we can deal with tiredness. We can deal with cramping. We can mentally get right. He goes, in 20 years' time, when we look back on it, it's not going to wash with anyone if we say, Jesus, we were tired from extra time the week beforehand. No. So that cannot be an excuse. And you just have a feeling, right? Am I going to give Cooley the kiss of death here on the pod? Because quite often when we go 3 on a team, it backfires. Or am I going to go and hedge my bets at Eric O'Kieran? I think I'm going to switch. I've been won over by the Eric O'Kieran story at the weekend. So I'm calling them.
You drank the Kool-Aid. You were there. You were surrounded
by the Kool-Aid. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So look, lads, I think we're going to, that's that. And next Monday, we're going to start the pod talking about the All-Ireland final. After that, we are going to begin our build-up to the National Football League, an unbelievably big year of GA. We're actually going to do 2 pods next week. We'll have our members pod out then on the Wednesday. So we'll kind of split it between the two, our league preview. So you're going to have a bit of homework to do during the week. I want your player to watch, your team to watch. Even under the new rules, I still want it. You're also going to have to get up. I'm going to take a little break in a minute and I'll come back for 5 minutes on that. So just to mention as well, Nave Pádraig, Muff, in Donegal, they won their junior semi-final on penalties against Kilmurry of Cork there at the weekend. That final is going to be the 25th. Kenan McColgan, the Donegal forward, kicked 3 points and won a penalty in extra time. So that was big for them. And obviously the Ballanderry Cross Malina intermediate final was postponed last week due to a tragic event, the death of Roisin Crian, who's connected to the Cross Malina club. So we just want to pass on our sympathies to everyone, all of our family and everyone down that direction. Just an awful story, awful news, and we're all thinking of you. So I'm going to take a little break on the football pod and we'll come back looking ahead to next weekend. All right, you are very welcome back to the football pod. It's brought to you with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football, Hurling, Camogie and Ladies Football Club Championships. Actually, all the club championships, not just the senior, the intermediate and junior.
Everything. They don't sponsor.
Oh, they sponsor the pod too. So that's of utmost importance. So check out hashtag the toughest for more nerd if you've got that. We were talking about the club finals there. What are you hearing? Like, I want to hear what two of the best connected, you know, finest pundits in the country are hearing about the new rules. Like, you haven't been on the pod for about 6 weeks. Tell me what little grains of information you can bring the listeners before they kick into gear the leagues in 2 weeks' time, because there's a lot of intrigue out there, lads. What are you hearing? Positivity or trepidation?
From a player's point of view, I think it's positivity. First of all, the kickout. I think the kickout is going to be a major player this year, because the short, clever kickouts are not going to be in play. It's going to be long, fight for your ball. Your two midfielders, I know we said that they might need to be runners. They need to be ball winners as well, because a lot of it is being put down and launched. So that's the first thing. I think the kick out's going to be massive. The second thing is the tap and go, I think is more of a factor than people realized it was going to be. So if you're a fold, you can tap and go within 4 seconds and you can't be touched for 4 steps. So if you're a fold, you can tap and go. You're past that man and you're on to another one. And also with the tap and go, if you're a fold, you can actually give it to your buddy to tap and go. You don't have to tap and go yourself, which is another game changer. Like if you're a fold and you're not the quickest, and next thing someone like a Gavin White is next to you, you throw the ball to him, he taps and goes, and next thing you're 30 yeah, yards up the field. So that
there's
has
about
been
seven clauses. Difference. There's about seven clauses with the solo and go rule.
Yeah.
But like it could be a game changer, and it's kind of been seen early on.
You have to
it has to be taken immediately though. It has to be taken very, very quickly.
I think it's four.
Yeah, I think the wording is immediately, like, so it could be tricky to kind of hand it off to somebody and take it. But you're right. I think that is a possibility.
It's possible, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And the kick out is a big thing as well. Andy McEntee, Antrim manager, was saying the amount of contests that he's seen from the kick out has been the biggest change. He hasn't seen too many apart from that. Anything else you're hearing before we cross over to Paddy and we hear what the Dubs are saying?
Just that the players reckon there's going to be far more goal chances this year.
Scores everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, just because obviously there's less clutter around the middle. So line breakers are going to be more common. And once you've a head of steam up and pace, if you're getting that ball dished to you, like someone like Keegan made a career out of, I think that a lot of those kind of players are going to be very relevant as well.
Like Joe goes to the weekend. And you don't think that the reduction of 4 to 3 points is going to negatively impact the goals? You think the amount of people trying to defend 2-point opportunities are going to lead to more goal
I'm
chances?
I'm still delighted it didn't go to 4 points because no one would ever kick a point again. Like, it would be worthless if you just to kick a 1-pointer when you could get a 4 or 2. So I'm glad they didn't do that, but we'll see.
Paddy, let's hear you. What are you feeling?
It's just such... They're drastic changes, lads. You know, and you have to, normally we look at the National League and we're trying to preview what's going to happen in the summer and where teams are at, who's moving well, what new players are coming in, what managers are doing style-wise. This is so, it's so different to what teams have been used to, what players have been used to, what coaches have been used to. I think the National League, as brilliant as a competition as it is, it's nearly irrelevant who wins it this year. I think every single team, and I know there's so many challenge games going on behind closed doors as players try to get a handle on this. We're hardly scratching the surface, the chat we're having here about it. Like there's the rule changes, but what's the context around it? We said there's 7 or 8 different points under each rule. Coaches, we all heard the story of Michael Murphy playing a goal, this type of thing. Coaches are going to pull in their hair. How do we now take advantage of these rules? Because as a coach, you're going, how do we possibly tweak any sort of advantage out of this for ourselves? And I think what we're going to see in 2 weeks' time, I can't wait to see this in action. But it's very hard. Traditionally, when we review the National League, we say, oh, this team is struggling or they're not at it. You just don't know what teams are at. I just can't wait to see it. I'm sure there's things that coaches and the innovation going on within the squads are thinking about that no one else has even thought of or thinking about. That's the exciting thing. The universal thing from anyone you're talking to is, as James has said, scores. You are, and that's fundamentally why was this change brought in, because the game was becoming more and more dour, more and more one-dimensional. We are going to see massive scores. By all accounts, challenge games are finishing like hurling matches. And that's, we're saying hurling is the best sport in the world. That's what we keep hearing. And there's some brilliant games. I think you're going to see a lot of that over the first 2 or 3 weekends of the National League. And I'm just excited to see it. And you mentioned the different style of player that this may suit. Speed is, as the coaches become more and more prevalent and more important. But under this circumstances, when Andy McEntee said there, we're talking about Pat O'Craffick Byrne, maybe it's been around the Dublin squad, maybe wasn't as suited to the way Dublin would play. But now, every single kick out's coming out the middle of the pitch. You need a guy who's big and strong and can win kick outs. It might suit someone like him. I'm thinking particularly from the inside forward point of view, and I know we spoke to Conor McManus on this before Christmas on the show, is for the last 10 years, being a nearly loop forward, coming around in the loop has been, you know, every team needs to have someone like that. You may not necessarily need to be, you know, unbelievable at winning your own ball and sprinting out and beating a man in a sprint and like Darragh Canavan style, Damien Comer winning the ball, taking it on. That seems to be, as far as I can see, that's one of the most crucial traits of this. If you're playing inside, that you're going to have 3-on-3 balls are going to be launched in. Does that suit someone like a Rob Finnerty, for example? All-star corner forward who is brilliant at that kind of just crafty forward play. I'm going to get the ball. He's not someone you see bursting out like a Comer. Does that become less important? Do we start seeing less players of that, you know, skill set? Is it all about a like Michael Murphy? Everyone assumes he's going to play inside and be this target man, but then we hear he's playing fucking goal. So I'm just excited to see it. Because all we've seen on the outside, guys, is those, you know, basically a pub tournament before Christmas. You know, two nights of football. Whereas I know within counties, within teams, I know we're in the suit, Dublin are excited for this, that they feel it might suit.
Do they have a team? Did Dublin even have 15?
They have. I think they're going to try and get 15 for the Mayo game next week. I'd miss Kyle off Desi Farrell myself. Just have a look.
Desi's still there, is he? Because we're like,
I think Desi's staying on. I think Desi's there. Yeah, I think
they're even losing. Like Mossy Quinn has even left as well. Do you know somebody who's pulling Mossy's the strings?
Jim Ratcliffe, the Irish Jim Ratcliffe.
They'll have to give Dublin more money because they're going to be struggling. Paying another payment could just get them the extra few bodies.
I think that would be fair because we've the most players. So if we if another £1 million from the GAA would be nice. But no, honestly, I think that university, there's got to be more scores, but I'm intrigued to see the type of player that this may suit. Does this open opportunities for big men around midfield? Is it now ball winners inside? Do we lose that kind of jinky, loopy player or not? We just don't know. That's why that's the exciting thing. We always love the National League in this pod. We say it all the time, but I think this year...
Do you know who I think will change, Petty? Well. Do you know what position I think will be affected the most? Is 10 and 12, because you need to be a big man out there now, because it's going to be all Jules. There's going to be big men taking you on constantly, so you need to be strong enough to challenge them on the ground. But then the kickouts are going to be landed on top of you constantly as well. Like, if you go through Kerry's team on paper over the last couple of years, it's very small side.
Luton Burke would be made for him.
I think the Kerry's team could look very different come the summer. You know, they're going to have to get size in there.
But you know, the big thing, which was maybe slightly surprising, I know we're chatting to Aidan Falker, and this was, again, pre-Christmas. They'd only had a couple of, a little small bit of exposure to this. Every one of them was saying the fitness levels need to increase. You're thinking, every year we're saying, how can players get fitter? The training is savage. But every single team is saying this. Oh, my guys are out on their feet playing around the middle.
Dr. Noel McCaffrey. We might come back to that. Actually, his proposal. Be interesting to get your take on it. But yeah, everyone's saying it, Paddy. It's been taken as a given that you got to be 10 to 20% fitter. So, I don't know.
As if you weren't fit beforehand, like, Jesus.
Yeah, because the numbers, the high-speed runner numbers have gone through. That might settle.
Desi stopped ringing me there just on that point.
Right, okay. Great to be back, lads. Next week, we're into a brave new world of the new rules. I think what we're going to have is, I'll give you your homework after this and you can do your thinking afterwards. I think we're also going to bring back our play of the week. Is that okay if we do? We used to do a score of the week. Let's bring back a play of the week. Okay. Whether it be James, you might pick a solo one. Go, Paddy, you might pick a little two-pointer. And we're just going to give it to Rory Canavan for that weekend, this weekend, for that pass, right? Just the pass the cameras missed.
The Canavan goal, the whole goal, both, it's a dual effort, technical perfection.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what? Did you hear them interviewed after the game as well? I don't know who interviewed him, but...
Tommy was fucking doing the interview.
Was it you that interviewed him?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know, they were talking to some Muppet, like.
Yeah, they were talking to some Egypt there after the game. But
some sham.
You said, did you call for it, or...
Yeah, I asked. Yeah.
But that's the thing about the chemistry. There was no call there. It was like a little bit of eyes, and then Rory kind of maybe lifted his eyebrows, and next thing that means that Dara goes backdoor. Like, it's those little things that people don't realize are still
wrong. Yeah, he did the people's eyebrow.
I'd say he said to me, he didn't say what I took from it was what he said. It would have been bad manners if he missed it. I think he said it would have been bad form if he missed it. I think what he was probably worried about was the dinner table with Peter that evening if he had missed that chance after Rory's.
Did you think
it would have been 2-1, Hammer and Dara, if he had missed that chance.
Did you think he might have, for one split second, that he'd gone too high? That was going to go over the back.
Such a good finish.
It was such a good finish.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Such a good finish. And Shane Murphy as well, quality goalkeeper, just to get by him. Anyways, well, that was a good pod, lads, to be back. Nice to be back with you, and we'll catch up again next Monday. Paddy Andrews.
Happy New Year, friends.
Happy New Year, James. Happy New Year to everyone listening at home. Thanks for tuning back in. And we're back with two pods next week. We will see you next Monday. See you, boys.
See you, folks.
The Football Pod on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling, and Camogie All Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.